Ah, welcome to my inn, the Carriage Rest Inn, a place where the bard has tales that spin. As our weary travelers struggle to find their role in this world divided with souls that are full. Trust, confusion, loyalty are a greater foe than any arrow sprung from a bow. Who is dark, who is light, a constant battle over who is right. Listen as we begin here at the Carriage Rest Inn.
Guten Morgen, and welcome to another episode of Carriage Rest Tales. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, Mike, and to my left we have...
Hallo. Ryan, doing our German week for some reason. Meine Name ist Nomis. I'll be playing a bard and assassin.
I do not know German, so I'm just going to...
You could also say Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Good day.
I don't know what that means.
Good day.
Okay, good day. But yeah, this is Nick. I will be playing Basso / Ozal, the half-orc barbarian.
Guten Aden, ich bin Sam. Hey, it's Sam, and I'll be playing Woods, the paladin ranger. And we're all supposed to be learning German because we're all going to Switzerland. Woohoo!
Yep. Last we left off, Nomis, you had gone into Dorma to make it around the trap door. And we're opened the door and welcomed everybody to the cave.
Welcome to my volcano. It's hot in here.
It's getting hot in here.
Is the floor lava?
Right here and over there?
At this location that you guys are at, it is just a kind of like a lava tube entrance. So there's no lava on the ground yet, but it is rough hewn. Like, it's not a fancy cave. It's a cave system.
Those fancy caves, that's where they're at.
Well, you'll be getting to the fancy caves in a minute. So
maybe. Ooh. Spoiler.
Yeah, golly. Well, sir, since this is your cave, shall you? And Woods, like, throws her arm out in front of her. Lead the way.
I think it makes sense for the rogue character to lead the charge here. Are we leaving the three of our NSYNC friends behind, or should they come with us?
I feel like Justin, Lance, and JC need to be following us.
Okay.
Maybe we'll make them go first.
Are you bringing Soph with us?
Yeah.
She's really good in caves too, I think.
Yeah.
Does she have like a +5 to cave or something like that?
No.
+5 to cave? Well, Bruce Wayne here. So maybe Soph and I can, maybe the two of us take charge.
I like it.
Lead the way. All right.
I'll take the rear.
I am leading us through the cave, checking for traps.
Are you going stealthily or are you just walking?
Oh, why not go stealthily? I mean,
yeah. We're actually all singing.
I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet while the seven dwarves behind me sing.
Dirty rock.
Hi ho.
Maybe you can't stop.
26.
Okay. And then Soph is in the lead with you. So let's have Soph roll a stealth as well. Is this a dexterity base?
A 5.
Yeah, but she's got that +5 to cave, so that's a 10. I mean, come on.
All right, you guys are walking through the cave system. It's a pretty obvious path you can see on the ground, so there would be split offs, but you can definitely make out that, okay, here's the path that I want to go down.
Are there like footprints? Can I discern like something has recently traveled down this path?
Yeah,
before.
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
Natural 20.
I would say...
Rolling hot.
You would notice that there are footprints, but the feet are very large, and it would immediately remind you of the giant golden guards that were at the front door. You guys had defeated on your way in.
How tall are the ceilings?
Ceilings are probably 30 feet tall.
Are there a lot of stalagmites and stalactites?
There would be some stalagmites and stalactites.
Okay, good. That's going to set the scene.
Up ahead, since you are observing the footprints, you start seeing a glow in the light. because you are in a dark cave and you'd see some glowing kind of coming up from the distance.
Is this the same color light as the light shard beings?
It is the same color light as the light shard beings.
Okay, I'll throw up my like halt hand signals that we didn't talk about. Yeah. But I'll look behind you all and like point that there's,
I mean, Justin, they know choreography, so.
Yeah, totally.
They're bards, they got this.
Everybody halts, and the golden shards, you can see it getting brighter, so you sense that they're probably moving towards you. But as more light starts to illuminate this cave, you see a glint of light from a sword that was kind of stuck in the side of the wall. And you immediately start hearing some really heavy footprints coming right from your left, running towards this nice shiny sword that is out there. And Soph is just now running down this hallway.
The shiny.
To pick up the shiny.
Shiny object.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to alert two shard people. One of them comes around the corner and they look very similar to the ones you had fought outside. The other one has more of a robed figure to them. And they come around the corner and see Soph going for a sword. You see them close the distance. And I'm going to wait to see what you guys do. Right now, I would say Soph is probably 30 feet in front of you. They would probably be 30 feet past Soph, 60 feet away.
I think I would be behind Soph, keeping up with them. Still stealth. Okay. So remain undetected so I can spring into action.
So they definitely see the dragon and are focused on the dragon. You guys sense that they don't see anybody else in the party. Soph easily gets to the sword, starts chanting their chant. A little portal pulls up. Soph drops the sword into the portal, gets all happy. But you hear tick. And the two golden figures have stopped moving and they're just looking at Soph. And a few seconds later, you hear tick.
Did we hit a trap?
No, they did this last time.
Yeah.
Are they making the tick sound? So they're making the tick sound.
Yep. Tick.
How many ticks last time?
There was a little moral history check.
I think it was two.
Don't tick while I'm rolling.
I'm not. I'm waiting because this would be
10.
You're not sure how many ticks there were last time.
Does everyone hear the ticks or just you up front?
I would say I don't think you guys in the back would hear it. I think Nomus would hear it because Nomus is right behind Soph. Soph would obviously hear it. I'm going to say Soph is not really caring about the golden figures, but more looking around for other shinies that could possibly be around. Tick.
Well, I'm about to do something.
Give the man a minute.
They're the ones saying tick.
Yes, like they're not physically saying tick with their mouths, but you're thinking something like a mechanical
from
tick.
Them is coming. So I think it's mechanical.
That's the sound you're gonna get. I'm thinking like a clockwork type of like tick.
All right, why not? I'm gonna cast Shatter at these light shards.
Okay, what does Shatter do?
A sudden, loud, ringing, painfully intense noise erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius sphere centered on that point must make a constitution saving throw. A creature takes 3d8 thunder damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. A creature made of inorganic material, such as stone, crystal, or metal, has disadvantage on this saving throw.
All right, so they would probably have, we'll just give them disadvantage because I was picturing them like a mechanic. I'm playing like a clockwork soldier, so they'll have disadvantage on it. What do I need to beat?
15.
All right, I got one was a 6 or 14.
Fails.
The other was 11.
So they both fail.
Our bards behind us go, I came in like a wrecking ball. Never. I don't know the word.
Okay, so they take 3d8 thunder damage.
Yep.
7. I think a cat is an 8.
I would go for that.
So 15 and 4. So 19.
All right. I'm going to have them respond, and then we can roll initiative.
Got it.
The last tick is going off like as you cast this spell, and that also, with your attack, signifies like, oh, not friendlies. So they are going to attack back before the kind of barbarian looking one attacks. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw. Soph needs to make one as well.
Natty 20.
This makes sense.
Sorry, what did I add to I'm proficient in it.
Yep. So you'd get to add your dexterity plus your proficiency modifier.
So 13.
All right. So you failed the dexterity saving throw. So you are taking 27 fire damage as a fireball gets launched down this lava tube. But Soph, being a fire-breathing dragon, rolling an at 20, is going to ignore all the damage.
Sorry, how much did you say?
27. And
meow.
The barbarian is now just going to run and attack Soph because it still hasn't seen Gnomus. He's going to run forward and try to punch Soph. A 17 and an 8.
17 meets and the 8 fails.
Okay, so Soph takes 10 bludgeoning damage. Then I need you to roll a strength saving throw for Soph.
Strength saving?
Correct.
13.
All right. They are knocked prone, so they're not going to be able to fly this time. Like, on their turn, they're not going to be able to fly. We're going to put it that way, since I don't know how to do prone with a dragon. So I'm going to say they can't take off.
All right.
All right, now let's go ahead and roll initiative in case others want to help.
8.
Who wants to keep it for us?
16.
Basto got a 5, and Soph got a 1.
My enemy's got a 7.
What'd you get, Basto?
5.
Okay, Woods would be first. Well, we'll just make instinct last.
Yeah, sounds good. So Woods, I don't know if you guys were moving at all when this ticking was happening or not. Were you, or are you still 60 feet away?
I mean, we halted.
Okay, because, so you're 60 feet away then.
Yeah, so we're 60 feet away, but we saw the fireball either dissipated it above our heads or something.
Yeah, I think the range of fireball is only 30 feet, so okay. It would have expended before it got to you anyways, but you definitely would have seen it because it was a very bright light in a very dark cave. And now,
but so, I'm 60 feet within range. I'm within 60 feet of...
Yes.
Gnomus. Right?
Gnomus. Remember when we had name tags?
I know. And we had a whole studio set up too.
We had all those things. Okay. I'm within 60 feet of you, right? Okay. So I am going to do two things. I am going to, as my action, I'm going to move forward 30 feet. So kind of come up, I guess, 35 feet. And then I'm, as a bonus action, I'm going to cast Shield of Faith on myself and Gnomus. A shimmering field appears and surrounds a creature of your choice within range, granting a +2 bonus to AC for the duration. So I guess I'll just do it on Gnomus.
Cool.
So you're going to get a +2 for 10 minutes.
All right, that brings us up to Gnomus.
All right, so there's a barbarian light figure punching Soph.
Correct. Okay. No weapon, just fists punching.
Which one was casting the fireball?
One that is more robed, and it did not advance forward, so it's still 30 feet from you.
I'm going to peek out from behind Soph and hit the barbarian with my rapier.
Okay.
19 plus some stuff.
19 plus some stuff hits.
Hold on. Is that considered...
You get sneak attack.
Any hit on a surprise target is critical.
Would they be surprised? They haven't known you're there yet, so I would say we can give it.
Okay.
So it's a critical hit then?
So max damage with my rapier is 12.
And then how many hit sneak attacks do you get?
2d6.
So 12 on that also, so 24, and then roll your damage.
Another 10 and 2, another 6.
So 40 total. Nice. Take off a big chunk, and you see some of the golden shards break off and fall into golden shards. Similar to when you defeat Danoa, how they turn into dark shards. Same type of thing. There's still a bit of the monster still up, but maybe his left leg is chopped off at this point.
Is he still standing on one leg?
Yeah.
Okay. As a bonus action, I'm going to hide behind Soph again.
Sounds good.
Do I need to roll another stealth?
Yes, since you exposed yourself.
16.
16.
All right. I just came behind the dragon wing. With all my
trench coat.
With all my fringed cat hair from the fireball.
All right.
Enemy's turn.
Okay. I'm going to roll a perception for the gladiator to know if it was 18. What did you get your stealth?
16.
Okay. So I'm going to say he knows that you're the one that caused all that damage. You're the one that caused all that damage to happen to him. So he's going to change targets and try to punch you twice. A 12 and a 14.
They both miss.
Yep. So you nimbly dodge out of the way as the two punchy punches come in. And then you're looking at the robed figure. It sees two people, but his companion's in the way. So it raises its hand, basically snaps its fingers, and then instantly appears behind you. And it is going to cast Cone of Cold on you guys. I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
A 5.
A 5, okay.
A 7.
All right, so you guys both fail. It's 8d8 cold to damage. 37. But I do need to roll a constitution saving throw for the barbarian that was also attacking with you guys. 5. So they also take 37, which on the plus side, accidentally killed his companion. So
there we go.
You do see the rest of the golden shards from the one-legged leaning barbarian fall into the rest of its golden shards. So now you just have one robed figure standing behind you. That leads us up to Vaso.
Okay, so Vaso, how far away is he? 60 feet?
Yep, you're 60 feet.
All right, so he's going to move. His speed is 40. So he'll go 40, and then a bonus action to close the distance.
Okay, so you're going to use your action to dash?
Yeah.
So you can close the distance, but then you won't have an attack because you have to use your action to close the distance, but you can get into melee.
And he sees that Soph's like getting attacked, so he's going to go into rage.
Okay, so, sounds good.
So yeah, he'll be within 5 feet of the golden shard.
Oh, deck. In rage. Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody will have advantage on the golden robes figure. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll let you do a shoulder check if you want to.
Shoulder check?
Yeah, it's like a bonus action. You can try to check him in the shoulder. Like to make, I'm allowing you to pull, I'm going to say pull aggro. So like you can be like, hey, there's somebody else here if you want to attack. Or you cannot. It's up to you.
I'll do the shoulder check.
Okay.
Do I add anything to that?
Strength.
Okay. 20. Non-natural.
Natural 20. Okay, go ahead and roll a d6. I'm going to give you at least 6 points of damage.
6.
All right. Check him and he hits it to a wall. And now he is a little bit more focused on you.
Okay.
So if he's going to attack again, he's going to probably attack Vaso.
Soph.
All right. So the golden figure, how far away is he from everybody now?
I would say that golden figure now is probably 15 feet from Soph. Because I think Misty Step, I don't think he would have been to get too much further from that.
Okay. Is there anybody... Well, I guess Vaso.
Vaso's right, yeah. Vaso's right next to him.
Do it.
Okay, he's going to... I won't do fire breath. Yeah, so Sophie's going to go up to the golden creature and bite.
Okay.
Bite attack.
Sounds good. I'm going to give you +2 for flanking since Vaso just distracted it.
Okay. 22.
Okay, 22 hits.
All right. I get 1d10 +4 for piercing. 14 piercing damage.
Nice.
And 4 fire damage.
All right. It is not looking great. You do sense that they are not as meaty as the gladiator ones. So quite a bit of the shards have fallen off, but I believe that brings us up to...
InSync gets to go.
The boy band.
The boy band.
I'm going to run him.
Oh, I was going to say Justin was going to run up with his spear named Brittany.
okay.
Oops, he did it again.
Oops.
Sorry, I've been sitting on that for five minutes.
You're good. You're fine. Okay, there's two guys.
There's one left.
One left. Okay. The boy band is going to close the distance and get within range.
What is his range?
The range for Vicious Mockery that they're going to cast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At all three of them together.
Oh, they're all bards?
They're all bards.
Oh.
Duh. They're all bards. I thought they were like a level 3. In my mind, that made sense.
Sure.
Okay. So they're going to cast Vicious Mockery at second level, all of them. So they unleash a string of insults, and they're basically like, you're tearing up my heart. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Bye, bye. That's what they just keep singing over and over again. I need the guy to make a wisdom saving throw. He'll have to be spell save DC.
which is probably at a level 3 for a bard.
12 would be my guess.
12 sounds good to me.
They've passed one of them and failed the other two.
Okay, so they're going to take 4d4 damage.
Okay.
One.
Two.
Yay, they doubled.
So that's 5.
All right.
Anticlimactic.
Well.
Fine. Take 5.
The bards that are somehow the only ones that remained out of the Iron Mists quartet are here, and they're singing down this cave system, and you hear this music just bouncing down the entire cave system. Just echoing and echoing down.
No, they whisper it. They whisper.
Do they whisper it?
Vicious Mockery is a whisper.
Just wanna clarify.
Yeah, it's a whisper.
It's the ASMR singing.
Mm-hmm. Bye, 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 bye. Dirty pop.
Dirty pop.
It's a dirty pop.
You're a dirty pop.
All right, Woods. You're up. What are you doing?
Can I see if my fellow boy band, my bards, did I feel like they made a dent in this guy?
Yeah, he's not looking good at all. I mean, still did more damage, but, you know.
All right, I'm just going to take an arrow to him.
Okay.
They're also a little annoyed being in the cave because it's 98 degrees.
A little too, it's not too
like,
hot in there.
It's not like the back streets they're used to. The one guy's like, LMFO, just, oh, whoa, man. Let's see, 18 plus 11.
That is
29. Close hit. Yeah, blue chest bow. Let's deal the right damage. 15 to hit, or 15 damage, and then Callous Slayer, I get a 1d8 because they're under their max hit points, so another 6 on that.
Okay, that is it's definitely enough to finish off the rest of the golden shards for this one, and they fall into some golden shards. It starts to get a little bit darker here. It's when they fall apart, they're less glowy. But luckily, you really only see one direction to go to.
Mike for the win.
Wow, for the win. I'm so proud of you.
One for the win.
Wow, that was just...
That was good.
Wow.
Oh, man. The best part is all of us right now are trying to think of other boy bands from the 90s. Yeah.
Well, I was like, New Kids on the Block, that doesn't really work. BB Mac, that doesn't really work.
All right, so you guys are out of combat.
It's a new addition for you, Mike. Thank you. The best I could do.
That was good.
That's the best I can do. All right, Gnomus is hurting pretty bad.
Okay.
I can help. Let me help. I'm going to walk up to you, and I can see you're visibly in pain.
I got 4 hit points left.
Oh, yeah. So hang on.
Well, I got a fireball and then a cone of frost, so.
I just need a second to figure out my most powerful thing. Hey guys, it's Sam. Oh, we are almost done wrapping up season 4 and the entire storyline. We are so excited and thankful that you guys have been on this journey with us. We want to do a bit of a mailbag. If you have questions about the storyline, the world, the podcast, us as players, we would love to answer those for you as a little season finale. Regardless of where you are in the story, if you're starting with season 1 or if you're right with us at season 4, go ahead and send in your questions either on Instagram at carriagerusttalesdnd or shoot us an email at podcast@carriagerusttales.com. As always, give us a 5-star review if you haven't done that yet on your favorite podcast platform. Share our podcast with a friend. We are so grateful for all of you as listeners. We cannot thank you enough. We are so excited that you've been on this journey with us, and we can't wait to wrap this story up. I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay, I can just lay on hands is all I can do. Sorry, I literally thought I had more healing spells, and I guess I didn't take them. I have like proactive healing spells, but I can lay on hands. Okay. So would you like me to do some of that?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to walk up to you and put my hands on your shoulders, and I assume you hating me at this current moment are probably going to jump. And then I'm going to go ahead and give you 18 hit points back, and you can see that visibly takes a lot out of me.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you okay, sir? What happened?
I took a fireball and then a ray of frost.
They could do fire and frost at the same... Was there two enemies?
The same being, yes.
I thought they only could do like one element at a time, but okay.
Yeah. We might need you to keep watch for us. I think you'd be better served keeping watch.
Okay, so you want us to just watch the entrance or watch this cave system, or?
I think watch the entrance.
Okay.
And if any more light shards beings come up or any enemies come into the cave and let us know.
Yes, and you see them exchanging looks and they're like, whew, kind of happy not to be in this area anymore.
Vasa going to ask them, do you guys have any healing potions or anything on you?
Yeah, they do, actually.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Can you hand them to my friend here?
Yes. They'll each have one healing potion. So that'd be three healing potions to give to you guys. They're just going to be standard healing potions, which I think is 4d4 plus.
They don't have any like cure wound spells.
I mean, they would at a level. That's what I was looking up.
Oh, sure. I guess they would.
The DM is not happy about that.
No, it's fine. You made them bards. I thought they were assassins, but...
Yeah, cure wounds.
Okay, so we got three healing potions.
I'm going to overrule a little bit and say they're going to hold their healing spells because they don't have any spells, and they are still on an active mission. So unless you are like going to be dying soon, I think they would hold their spells to be able to complete their mission.
I mean, you could just take all three of the potions.
I will escort them out of the cave. I'll use my flute to do a cure wounds spell on me and then cast another one at a second level.
Okay, I think that makes sense. I just think they would try to hold on if they're going to still be in an active mission. Even if they're not on the front lines, they're going to want to have something in reserve.
Whew, okay.
Did you take all of them?
No, I didn't take any yet. I used my flute to heal myself and I just cure wounds myself. I'm up to 59, so.
Can you use your flute thing for Soph?
Yeah. Is anyone else injured?
I'm not.
How many hit points are they down?
So 47 is how many hit points. They can get 47 back.
If I did a cure wounds at just level 1, give her 1d8 plus 7.
That'll be fine.
Because my mass cure wounds is 3d8, but I can only use it once. And I feel like we're
cave yet. Just do the, what is it?
You can roll a 1d8 and add 7 to it. Or give them a healing potion.
6 plus 7.
So you get 13. And then pop a healing potion down her gullet. Scruff her by the neck.
Yeah. Get her really vertical.
Get really vertical, and then with your fingers, just
What the healing potion?
44.
44.
2, 3, 5, 6, 10.
All right, that's better.
Before we go any further, I'm going to cast aid on all three of us. For the next 8 hours... Everyone gets to add, I'm going to do it at a level 3. So everyone gets to add 10 hit points to their hit point max, and then 10 hit points to their current.
So just add 10 to both your current hit points and your hit point max.
Yep. So you can get 10 health, you get 10 hit points back, and then increase your max hit point by 10.
Meaning like if you were to take, because normally if you take a health potion, you stop at your max. This is saying
that's just on us three, not so.
Yeah, just, I can only do it on three people.
Okay.
How long did that battle last?
It was a really fast battle. It was only about 25 seconds, maybe.
So I still got my plus 2 AC for the next 8 minutes.
Probably.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, from her.
Shield of Faith.
Shield of Faith.
Are we ready to continue? We all bandaged up from our first encounter in the cave.
Yeah, Soph's going to hang out back, and I'm going to instruct Soph to stay with me.
Can she portal to her other plane? How bad is she?
No, she's fine.
Okay. They can always just portal in and hang out in her little nest, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they established it, but I
take us there, too.
I don't know why they would not be able to.
Yeah. I'm going to ready an action. I'm going to just dock one of my bows, and so I'm now going to be walking through the cave. Kind of like bow out.
Okay. Are you taking the lead, Nomus?
Yes. I'm going to stealth again.
Yep.
18.
Okay. So you see Nomus sneak up to the front, and he's doing a great job of staying in the shadows. You're holding Soph back, trying to make sure they don't get distracted by any of the random shinies that are along the way. But occasionally you still will hear little chanting. You turn around and like a portal will quickly close. Something is different in the cave. You eventually get to a carved out hallway, which looks kind of like a door frame. And Nomis, you see that there are two of those golden figures, same setup, one in robes and one barbarian, walking across a living room. When I say living room, but very big room, like a grand hallway. They haven't spotted you. They're just walking perpendicular to where you're seeing.
Okay. I'll throw up my hand again to let you all know to stop and then point. I'll put like two paw fingers up and point, and I'll just watch them for a second to see where they go.
Okay. You see them turn and walk into a doorway on the other side of the room. So think of it as you walked into the front door and they're walking, you know, across the room. It's kind of like a grand entrance.
So we were walking through a cave tunnel, and then did we just come up upon a large room?
Yep, exactly. And they were just walking across the back wall.
And there's a door presumably up into my right?
Yep, and then when you look, you see a door up into your left as well.
Can I roll a perception check?
Yes, you can. What are you trying to perceive?
I just want to take a really good look at the room and see, like, is there an altar? Is there, what is this room used for? And I got a 15.
I'm going to say, as you're looking at the room, across on the far wall of where the entrance was, there is a dais, like a cylindrical dais that somebody would stand on. And along the rest of the room are little kneeling mats, but the kneeling mats look very, very old. Like they have a lot of rot on them.
So not like I can't discern if somebody's actually currently using them.
You would determine that they have not been used in at least a century.
Okay. If I look up, do I see like a second floor, any windows? Like I'm trying to think about the dream I was in and like looking out and looking down. Am I looking at, do I feel like I'm anywhere close to that?
No, you don't see any sort of windows. It's just a big grand cathedral-ish type room.
Okay.
That looks like it has a dais stand and kneeling mats, but not like pulpits or anything. There's a door on the left and the door on the right.
So there's an altar in there?
Yep, there's an altar on the far side. And two doorways that you had saw the golden figures walk in one, walk across the room, and walk out the other. Nomis, one of the things you would notice is the figures were not talking to each other. They were just walking what you would guess would be a patrol from your military background.
Okay. So I'll go back and report to Woods and Vaso that the two light beings walked out of the door ahead on the left and into the door on the right. Do we want to follow them or go the door on the left? My vote is the door on the left.
Yeah, let's go where they came from.
Okay. So I'll go enter the room, hug the wall on the left, and then approach the door that they, I guess, came out of.
Came out of? Okay.
Does it...
Can we check for traps?
I've been doing that, yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing it the whole time. So okay. If you want me to keep saying it, I can, but...
No, you're fine. I think... I'll just assume you...
Five is... touching the walls, touching the door.
I'll assume that you're just moving slower then.
Well, I'm stealthed.
Yeah.
Too.
So. Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to actively be looking for traps, I'll keep that in mind, but you're going to be moving slower than if you were just walking.
Yeah, I'm not in any hurry.
All right.
I'm not in any hurry to die.
I almost did. So, you know.
Episode title.
As you look down the left door, you see a long hallway with, let's say, four doors, two on each side. And then at the end of the hallway, about 40 feet down, it turns to the right.
Turn to the right?
This turns to the right, yep.
Like this way?
Correct.
So if this is, we'll say this is north.
Yep.
So it turns north.
Yep.
Is there a door there or no?
There's no door.
Okay. I will continue to walk down the hallway and I'll stop at both of these doors. Are they wooden, stone?
They are wooden doors. They would be cracked at this point due to just shrinkage. You'd be able to see through the doors because the same thing as the mats, the prayer mats, they haven't been used in a century. So they're starting to have some dry rot, and where the seams of the boards are, you can see between them. As you look inside, you see what would have been beds that have collapsed in on each other and probably a nightstand. And that would be inside each of the four rooms.
Okay. I don't think I want to go into these rooms. It looks like there's nothing of value in there anyway. Just looking, I don't see anything like shimmering.
Yep.
Anything like that.
Go ahead and make a perception check.
Too distracted by the doors. Yeah.
As you are looking over the doors, what you had missed was it was starting to get a little bit lighter in the hallway that you were standing in.
Going to the north here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're looking at the doors and you didn't quite notice that it was starting to get a little bit lighter. And then all of us in here, tick.
Crap. I'm going to look at you all and say tick. More light shards. And then I'm ducking into one of the rooms.
Okay.
Because yep. I would imagine they're either going to charge or cast something down this hallway.
Tick. Yeah. I'm going to grab stuff and we're going to hide in another room.
I'm heading into a room.
Are you guys all going to the same room or are you going to different rooms?
Different rooms.
How many rooms are there?
There's four rooms.
So I would.
I'm taking imagine, room one.
You're taking room one.
Okay, so we'll say Woods is here.
Okay.
I would be right here. So I think it would make sense for me to go here.
For those of you listening at home.
Sorry, I don't get to draw dungeon maps.
I'll take this one right
both
here.
Of the guys are drawing rooms and I'm sitting here drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah, we each ducked into a room.
Woods, Nomis, Vasa. Vasa, Sos with Vasa, right? Okay, tick. They haven't moved. They're just making that ticking sound. On the fifth tick.
So five ticks.
They start moving into action, and they just go right where the rogue went. Because that's who they noticed. So they are going to...
I would have, like, to be clear, I would have, like, gone by into the room and probably, like, hid behind the door.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to run through the door. So
we're rolling initiative?
We're going to roll initiative.
We'll come save you.
Ooh, a natural 20. All right, so that was one initiative.
I got a dirty 20.
So...
I got a 9.
So, hold on. Nomis, Woods, Vaso.
So, if we go with Vaso, they got a 7, which is after all of you. Which, they were waiting, so I think that would make sense.
Soph rolled a 1 again.
Well, I was just going to have Soph go with your turn.
All right, that works.
All right, so on the fifth tick, they do go into action. The... robed figure, the mage, is going to stay back, but the gladiator is just going to burst through the door. I assumed you closed the door or something. They're going to burst through the door and only get one attack in because they do need to try to find you because you said you were hiding in the room.
So yeah, I'm kind of tucked back in the behind the door.
Okay, roll a... All right.
Because I imagine it opens in.
Yep.
So I'm kind of crouched.
Crouched behind the door. So they slam open the door. I'm going to say take... 3. I'm going to say you take 3 bludgeoning damage just from the door swinging into you. But then the gladiator goes and just smashes the bed because it sees something and it's just going to attack that first. So it uses its attack action hitting the bed. And the mage is just going to turn and walk and look into the room. Let's see if he sees you.
The same room I'm in?
Yes. They're falling. I think it would make sense in a second. He did not see you as well. He got an 11 on his wisdom, which I think is below your passive stealth. So that is going to be their turn. The gladiator is currently beating up a bed, and the mage is holding off until it sees its target. And who is next?
It's me.
All right. Nomis, what do you
think? So are they? So the gladiator burst in the door, so he's way ahead of me.
Yep.
And where's the robe figure?
In the hallway, still looking into the door. So you're basically between the two enemies, but neither of them have spotted you.
But I see the robe figure.
I'm going to say you don't see the robe figure because you're hiding behind the door. He's outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you'd see the gladiator in front of you. Maybe you see, like, now that you know that, oh, I'm looking at the light shadows, you're like, it got really bright. That robe figure is probably right behind the wall. You know, like.
Okay. I'm going to draw my rapier. No, I'm going to take both my daggers out, and I'm going to slide out of the door and double slash the rogue figure.
Okay, so you're just going to basically bolt out and slash slash.
Yep, which I would assume he'd be surprised, right?
Well,
he knew I was in the door.
Knew you were there, yeah.
So I have advantage on target that hasn't taken a turn in combat as an assassin.
I'm going to say they haven't taken their turn yet because their initiative was actually low. But I had them go because you guys were kind of waiting for them to do stuff, if that makes sense.
Yep. So I get advantage on my daggers, yep. Right?
Which means you'll get sneak attack on the
first attack.
On the first attack, yeah.
Okay. So main hand weapon 16 plus 7.
That meets the 12 armor class, well, I guess 15 armor class that they have.
Dagger, I do 5 damage. And then my sneak attack, 2, another 7.
Yep.
And then I'll hit him with my offhand. I don't get any modifiers for that, though, right?
Correct.
It's just, I still get advantage. I just don't get to add modifiers to it.
I believe so.
Natural 20.
All right.
So max damage, well, offhand would be 4.
Yep. So you already used your sneak attack. You only get those once per action, or once per turn, not per strike. So 4, and then roll your d4.
1.
So 5?
Yeah.
All right.
Which daggers. It's fine.
You still have a lot of movement and a bonus action.
I don't really know where my compatriots went, but I'm going to just go through the door across the hall.
Okay. So you run through the door across the hall. Woods, did you close the door when you went into that room?
Probably not.
All right. So you would immediately see Woods in there. I'm assuming with, she already mentioned she has an arrow knocked.
Is the golden shard that Gnomus just attacked still in the hallway?
Yeah, it hasn't moved yet.
It hasn't moved. Okay, I'm going to cast Lightning Arrow.
And then I'm hiding in the room.
Yeah, you get. I'm like, get behind me.
I need to reroll stealth?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to cast Lightning 11. Arrow. And so my arrow's already knocked, so let's shoot that first. Which means I end the concentration spell that you had.
So I no longer have plus 2 to AC?
Correct. All right, so I got...
There's so much happening right now.
24 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. So my normal damage, 15 for my normal damage. And then this guy, I did it at level 3. So the target takes 4d8 lightning damage on a hit or half as much on a miss. So he's going to take 4d8. So that's 5, 9, 10, 14. I need him and anyone within 10 feet of him needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
All right, I got to back up. What was the damage for the just basic attack?
It was 15.
15.
And then 14 on top of it.
14 on top of it?
Yeah, that was for the lightning.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, as you go to cast the spell, he turns and raises his hand, and all the lightning that was built up in the arrow dissipates as he casted counterspell.
Well, dang it.
But he's still going to take the arrow to the face, wherever you shot him at.
Okay, well then, does that mean all the extra lightning damage on the dexterity slave goes away too?
Yep, and you lose the spell slot also.
That's fine. I'm going to knock my second arrow.
Okay.
And can I call the shot? Do I get anything extra if I call it?
No.
Well, it's going in his face. Dirty 20.
If he has a face.
13.
Doesn't anymore. Just kidding.
14. 14 damage.
14? Okay. That is enough to knock the rest of his health out, but he did save his companion from taking that lightning damage, which I think is what he would have done. All right, so the hallway is littered with some golden shards, and there's a barbarian just smashing away at a room, and I think it's Vaso's turn now.
Yes.
Vaso is going to... So he hears all this noise, so like he's going to like kind of hold on to Soph. And then, like, he's going to go back to the door because he shut it behind him, kind of creak it open and look around, look out, and just kind of keep an eye and because, like, the golden figure's in that room, right?
Yeah, so the golden figure is in the room that's on the same side as you.
Okay.
So you wouldn't be able to see the golden,
okay,
the barbarian. You'd be able to hear them maybe in the room next to you.
Yeah.
You would also see a lot of golden shards scattered across the floor. So you probably put together that one of the two has already died.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, he's going to bring Soph out into the hallway, and we're just going to wait.
Okay. Wait to see
when they come out. Basically ready in action. So as soon as that golden figure comes out, we're both going to attack.
Okay. Sounds good. So I think it's the golden figure's turn now. We'll say that he turns around after recognizing there's nobody here, and he would see Woods standing in the doorway on the other side and would start charging towards Woods.
Okay.
So it's going to be running, but that's going to trigger your ready action.
Yep. And Soph is going to do fire breath.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm going to give disadvantage on this because they do not know it's coming at all.
Okay, fire 11. Breath.
11.
Yeah, that's a fail. You need a DC 13.
Okay.
So 76. I'll roll it. 3, 6, 10, 14, 20, 25. One more.
One more.
29 damage.
Nice.
Nice. We got to keep that dragon alive.
Okay. That's why I healed it.
And then what is Vaso doing?
Vaso is going to
clap and be happy. That's my dragon.
So that's how you train your dragon.
So Vaso is going to see the fire breath. And then once that's done, he's going to go
okay.
And charge. Charge the golden figure and swing at it.
Okay, sounds good. So go try to close the distance. It's going to, all right, I'm going to say the golden figure was running across the hallway. It just got blasted in the side by a fireball, which made it veer off course. So it ran into like the door jam.
Okay.
So it doesn't quite get to Woods because it got knocked off its balance. And then you can come in with the swinging attack as it's off kilter. So you're going to have an advantage on your attack.
Okay.
You can say it became unhinged.
The door? Yes.
Oh, my Lucha.
23.
23 hits.
I like picture you and I in the room and you standing awkwardly behind me whispering these things in my ear.
I think my next character is going to be some like washed up comic.
Yeah. It has like a...
six damage.
Six damage only?
Yeah.
Cut it out.
I think you get two attacks. Yep.
Do I get advantage again?
I'm Joey Gladstone.
I'd say not on this one since it's now recovered a bit.
25.
25 hits.
Sam, I'm glad you and I are having this full house moment. They're playing D&D.
All right, now the enemy will finish its turn. It is.
Ryan and I need our own podcast.
You're kind of up there swinging away, so it's just going to pound straight down with its two fists on Vaso. A 14 to hit and a 24 to hit.
The 24 hit, the 14 misses.
Okay, take 10 bludgeoning damage. Make a strength saving throw.
Nine.
Okay. It is going to hit you, and you're going to fall flat on your face and take another 6 damage. Well, let's roll it. 6. 6 bludgeoning damage as you get pushed down onto your face. That brings us up to, I think, Gnomus.
I think Gnomus would hear this going on. I would kind of look at Woods to kind of get a direction, like a kind of point down the hall.
Yeah.
I will stealthily come out of the door and kind of look to my right and left to see what's going on.
Vaso and the barbarian are literally in the doorway, like in front of you guys.
Can I get a clear hit on the light shard?
Yeah, you definitely can get a clear hit on the light shard.
I think she's just like stepping over them to like look down the hallway.
Well, I didn't know if they were further down.
Yeah.
No, because the barbarian was trying to charge
into the room.
Woods, and then Soph's fire breath made it kind of miss the doorway a little bit.
Okay, so I would get a sneak attack because it's engaged with.
Correct. You have an ally within 5 feet.
Okay.
Or so it has an enemy within 5 feet of it.
So I will hit with my dagger again. 14.
This is.
Hit with my offhand. 10.
Still misses.
Okay.
You're a little shaken up, maybe.
Yeah, I had a light shard being crashed in the room I was in.
I'm going to yell, Gnomus, move. And I'm going to knock an arrow into
the guy's face.
Dive out of the way.
Yeah. Maybe come out of the room and then look down the hallway to make sure no one else is coming.
Ooh, I like that. You can use your bonus action. I'm going to say, especially with you missing both of them, he doesn't really care about you.
16 to hit.
16 meets.
Ooh, I almost missed, guys.
Almost.
18 damage.
Okay.
Do I feel like he needs another one?
Yes, you do.
Oh, but also he gets... Sorry, hang on. Add another 2 for Callous Slayer.
Callous Slayer, yep.
And Dirty 20 with 15.
All right. Gnomus, you look down the hallway and you see a... What time of day was it when you guys got here? Do you remember? I think it was dusk.
It probably took us a while to get here.
Because I remember he wanted to travel at night to not be obscene.
Yeah.
So it would be nighttime. You see a very dark room up ahead. Even with your dark vision, it's far enough away that you can't make out any details.
Okay.
Where are we at in the initiative order?
It would be Vaso and Soph.
Vaso and Soph. And you guys can go interchangeable if okay. you want to go before Soph or after Soph, whatever, just like we did last time.
All right. Well, first things first, Soph is going to roll to get their fire breath back.
Okay.
A 5, so they got it back. And then Soph is going to do a bite attack.
Okay, so close the distance and bite. Yep. Crit fail?
Yep.
Oh.
Well, we know Soph's biting.
Oh, no.
Go ahead and roll a D100 for us, though, so we have an idea.
Remember the episode where Vasa lost his leg?
Arm.
No. Right now, your leg.
100? No.
Double zero.
A 1?
Is that a 100?
That is 100 again!
No, 100 would be 00. So that's going to be
a 00.
Is that a 1?
That's a 1.
Oh, no.
Vasa.
No! Did I really just roll a 1?
You really just rolled
a
1.
Crit failed on a crit fail.
Crit failed on a crit fail.
I think you're dead, bro.
Yeah, I think Vasa... be on a live
so you either get it's really a 0 to a 99 that you would roll on a
well 0 0 you can't get 0 so if you roll 0 0 that's 100
yeah
but other than that the double digit one is your tens place so 0 0 would be 0 and then the single digit one would be your ones place so we got a 1 how do we do this so
what are the odds
like one pretty in good 100?
1%?
Yeah, 1 over 20 and 1 over 100.
Yeah.
See, the problem I'm having, though, is it's Soph's 1, not Vasa's 1.
Oh,
one,
gotcha.
1 out of 2,000.
Yeah.
Right?
1 out of...
To do a crit fail on a crit fail.
Yeah, so we 1 over 20 times 1 over 100. So, yeah, 1 over 2,000. Right? Yeah.
I'm just
this
nervous.
Moment brought to you by Actuaries.
All right, so... What's going to happen? I don't want to do it, but I need to do it. Soph goes in to do the bite attack. But unfortunately, what type of weapon do you have? You have a sword and an axe.
No, right? I got the bow staff.
He's got the relic.
The wooden bow staff. All
right. So Soph goes in to do the bite attack. But unfortunately, when you get pushed to the ground, your bow staff fell out of your hand. So Soph ends up impaling herself on the bow staff and cracks a bunch of ribs and hits her heart. And Soph slumps off to the side.
Yeah. I killed a dragon.
Oh my gosh. Do I see this happen?
You would see it happen, but we're in the middle of combat now, and I think it's Vaso's turn, who is on the ground.
Yeah, Vaso is... Like, he doesn't see it yet because his face is in the ground. So he's going to try to get back up. Can he get back up?
Yeah, you can get back up.
Okay. And he's going to stand up, and he lost his bow staff, I'm guessing. So he's just going to punch the golden
figure. Yep. That is a strength. You'd be proficient with your fists, I think, as a barbarian.
Okay. 2.
Yeah, I thought you had a crit fail. I was like, God damn it. All right. With the 2, you're going to miss.
Okay.
Maybe you saw that Soph is lying on the ground.
I see that Soph's on the ground, and that's when he's going to go into rage again.
Okay.
Yeah, and just punch him again.
Sounds good.
Do I add my strength?
Yes.
Okay. 13.
And you're proficient, so you're going to add your proficiency.
Sorry, 12.
I think that gets you 16.
16.
Yep. So 16 ties. So punch is, I think, 1d4 plus your strength. I think. That's what I'm going to go with.
Got some Osoph in him, too.
He does.
Yeah. 9.
9. Okay. So he takes 9 damage. He is still up. But that brings us up to the actual enemy, I believe. Yes.
Correct.
It's just going to attack you twice. 18 and a 13. Vaso.
18 hits, 13 miss.
Okay. You take 7 bludgeoning damage, but since you are...
Raged.
Raged, you're only going to take, 3? That's all it can do. It's just going to be attacking the thing that's attacking it.
Okay.
And that brings us up to Gnomus.
All right. So Gnomus looked down the hallway. He saw a dark room. Even with my dark vision, I couldn't see in it.
Yeah. I would say from the distance you're at, I think dark vision lets you see like it's daylight for 60 feet and dim lit for another 60 or something like
that. But even with that, I can't discern anything.
You can see that there's a room. Maybe you could make out that there's some chairs, but other than that, you can't make out any details.
Okay. Once I know there's no light shards coming down the hallway, I will turn around and I guess see Stove slumped over and Vaso and the light shard.
In combat, yeah.
So I will go up and attack it with my dagger again.
You get advantage.
Sweet.
That's not raging.
Raging. 18 plus a lot.
Yep, that hits.
So I get sneak attack 2. Would he be surprised that he got attacked from behind?
No, he would not be.
Okay. Well, it says any hit on a surprise target is critical. He's going away stomping on Vaso. Okay. 6 plus 5, 11, and another 1. So 12.
Just enough. So you are able to slide your dagger in and the golden figure burst into a bunch of golden shards that rain down on the floor.
What are the, just since I see that, what are the golden shards doing? Like from the, even the mage, are they just still there?
Yep, they're still there, just hanging out like in Dorma, so the vibe side of you. You know, when you kill Denoa, the dark shards just stay. In this case, you're in Ivana, so the light shards are just staying.
Okay.
We're out of combat.
I'm going to run and literally like leap over Vaso or on the ground with the dark shards and go up to Soph. Like, is she dead? Can I like lay on hands? Like, can I check a pulse? Like, do I you know what? It doesn't even matter. I'm going to put my hands on her and like pump in the last of my 18 lay on hands that I have to see if I can bring her back. And I am like channeling. Like, my wings are in, like, full span. I am, like, channeling everything from Sopalor and Lucha that I can into this dragon.
Okay. So, I would say with your goddess's abilities, you'd be able to call her soul back.
Okay.
So, you were able to heal her up to, let's say, 4 hit points.
Okay.
But she does have a bunch of broken ribs.
Okay. Is that taking one of, like...
Yeah.
Would so that be like a D6? Like, what do you want me to... My options are 1, 2, or... How many D4s do you want me to roll?
Let's do the 5th spell slot. So is that the 2 D4s?
Yeah.
Yep.
And should I count it as one of my spell slots?
Yeah, count it as one of the spell slots since you're using a goddess ability to try to...
And then also resurrect. My 18 lay on hands?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm making it cost you a lot to That's be able fine. To... Save Soph.
I'm just gonna like, you just see her take like a big, like, gulp of air. And I'm just like, give me the, don't we have any more potions? She's back, but I don't think she's okay.
I'll hand you the other 2 healing potions.
So we'll give her another 8d4.
Okay. Sounds good. So that's gonna bring her up to, I'll let you roll it.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh my God, get a different dice.
That one's rolled so many ones.
I would have stopped after 2 ones, but you know. There we go.
What'd I say?
8, so 12.
So 12, that was 6, right?
Yeah, so you got 2 more. 15. And 17.
17. So I had 17 plus the...
8.
8
I think I said 4.
4 that's originally.
So 21.
Had. She's at 21. And I'm just like gonna like kind of pet her snout.
Her eyes are very large. They are very scared. Similar to how you first met Soph when they were getting attacked by that snake Denoa creature.
Yeah, Vasa's gonna be petting.
Can she I don't, can she like go back?
Yeah, I was gonna send her back to the entrance with the other guys.
Can she go back to her plane?
Or at least to her cave and
to her cave.
Rest.
Yeah.
How far away was that?
It actually, I mean, for you guys have probably been like a day hike, a 2 day hike.
So we could easily
check up on her later.
Get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know where it is too.
So can we, because if she goes into her plane, she can't come find us, right?
I mean, her plane is just in the mountain range between Cavetown and Tenoas.
Like, yeah.
It's still but in like, Ivana.
But. Yeah, but like she like opens her portal.
Yeah, she opens her portal and jumps in.
Yeah, but when she does that, she can't open it back up and come back to us.
Correct. She'd have to walk back to you guys.
Okay.
It's a one-way portal.
I mean, I think that makes sense. I don't think she's going to survive this.
I don't think we're going to survive this, to be fair.
I don't. That just cost me so much.
Yeah, Soph is pretty scary right now, so I'm gonna send her back.
I'm going to kiss her on the nose and tell her to, like, go rest.
Okay.
Yep.
Anybody else going to say anything to her?
I'll communicate to her, to Soph. And
what was the shiny sword that she took in the beginning? You said there was, like, a sword in the wall?
Oh, yeah, that was just an adventurer sword.
Okay.
Leftover collateral, nothing special.
Well, you brought it up, so I don't know.
I was bringing up as the reason that her stealth roll was so crappy was because she saw a shiny.
All right. Well, while they're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and explore these four rooms just to see if there's anything valuable left over while they're doing their goodbyes.
So you guys say your goodbyes, and so after realizing that you guys are okay with them leaving, resigns and says their little chant, and then instead of dropping something in it, just dives into it, and the portal closes. Soph is safely back at her hoard.
Good.
I need a second. Just to sit. What I just did just took a lot out of me.
All right. I'm going to tell you all, that's fine. I'm going to let you all know that there is a dark room up ahead that I can't see into. So someone needs to watch to make sure no light figures come out of there. And we know some light figures went across the hall. So we need to be on guard.
We also need to attack them as soon as we see them.
There's five clicks that they make, I think, before they attack.
So if we can...
if we can drop the edge on them, try to get an attack in before they...
I agree.
Spring into motion, I think.
We can maybe just stop them before they start.
Yeah. But I want to take a closer look at these rooms while we're paused for a second.
Okay.
I'll follow Nomis.
Looking around in the rooms?
Yeah.
And then you're just sitting.
I just took 4 permanent hit points off of me. So I'm just need to gather my thoughts and I'm taking some deep breaths in.
Okay. Sounds good. Inside of the 4 rooms, they are all identical. They have a bed that at this point's collapsed in on itself and a simple nightstand. I'd say maybe also over in the corner, there's a small stool, you know, something maybe 8-inch tall tool. That's all that you see inside of the rooms.
Okay. So like no tapestries, no windows.
Nope. No tapestries.
So this looks more just like a simple quarters that hasn't been used in a long time.
Correct.
Okay. I think I'll come out. Are you still?
No, I'm walking towards you guys.
Okay. I want to get closer to this dark room.
Okay. So you're going to start walking?
I'll stealth again. 22.
Okay. I'll say you get down close to the entrance of the room. As you get closer, more and more starts to become visible to you. But you do start to see a light appearing inside of that room, like a soft glowing light.
The same glow as before.
Correct.
I'm going to come back and let you all know there's more light figures in the dark room.
Do you want me to cast Moonbeam into the room?
If you want. I don't know how many there are in there.
Well, if I cast Moonbeam, it's like a pale light in a 5-foot radius, 40-foot high. So it'll light up the room a bit and we could see. But anytime a creature passes through it or starts their turn, they're engulfed in ghostly flames.
I mean, that's up to you.
I don't know. Do you go in and do we need to go in this room? Could we walk past it?
I think it just opens up to a giant room from what I can tell.
Okay.
So our only way is to go into this room or backtrack and go through the door that on the other side of the altar room.
Okay. All right. Let's go in the dark room.
So let me get, I'll stealthily get closer.
Okay.
And try to get more information what's in the room.
All right, go ahead and roll a perception check as you're stealthing and getting closer.
22.
You would notice that the light, that soft glowing light that you were seeing, is having some slight fluctuations, but not growing super bright. So you kind of sense that, okay, nothing's walking towards me. So maybe I can peer into the room. You look out into the room, and what you see is a large, let's say like 30 feet wide by 20 feet, 20 feet wide by 30 feet long. Inside of it, there is a couch with some end tables. And on the west wall is big pane glass windows. On the right wall, there is also a pane glass window, but it is looking into a large opening that's about the size of a stadium that has a big old ball of floating golden shards in the middle. And then there is a door on the far wall, so like you would be able to walk through the room. So on the north wall, there'd be a door.
Door?
Yep.
So I want to try to look more closely at this light. Is it a figure? Or is it just the luminescence of this opening room?
Yep. So the golden light that you were seeing wasn't a figure in this case. It was the basically coming from that interior room, which the interior room, once you bring up Woods and all them.
Yeah, I'll wave you all forward.
Yeah, I'm assuming as soon as I walk in, I start to get flashbacks of the memories I have of Celine.
Correct. You walk into the room and you immediately get flashbacks of Celine, where you were looking down. If you look out to the west wall, you see Black Bay Harbor out in the distance.
So that's through the glass window. Through
the glass window. You see a bird's eye view of Black Bay Harbor. And then on the back wall, through that glass, you see the interior of the volcano. So you see a pool of magma, and I mean just a boatload of golden shards swirling around on the inside of it.
Woods is going to walk up to that opening and look back at the two of you and say, well, what do we do now?
When you look into the crater area, so you're looking east, I guess, in our diagram
just,
that we got here.
Yeah, just to give us some direction.
You see that there is a doorway on the east wall, so you can see the doorway on the other side of the crater, and it has a, for lack of a better word, a force field over it.
So it looks magically immune.
Yep.
Is it just like a normal looking door?
More like an archway.
Okay.
Can we get to the light shards from this room, or is it just like we're looking down on it?
You're just it's an observation deck, so looking down on it, but you can't get to it. The glass is in the way.
Does the room look like it hasn't been used since the time of Celine?
No. This room looks a lot more neat and upkept.
Okay.
I'm going to take a perimeter around the room, just, again, checking for traps, items, hidden passageways, just anything.
I'm going to actually post up at the door that we came into.
So the south door there?
Yeah, just on, like, keeping watch.
Okay. Yeah, I would say you're getting some uncomfortable feelings being in the room.
Yeah, I agree. I'm uncomfortable. I like feel like I've already been there. I don't like it. I'm also very confused on what we're actually supposed to do now that I've seen this massive ball in like a colossal, can't just punch it. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yep.
So I'm just feel like if the light shards are on some sort of patrol, like they might be coming back.
Makes sense. Vasa, what are you doing?
He's going to look out the window for the interior of the volcano and just look around, like, see, do I see anything? Like, do I see any guards out there or anything like that?
I like it. As you're looking out the window, so let's try to describe what this room looks like. So it is about the size of a basketball stadium. Okay. So think about like a domed basketball stadium. When you walk in, that's about the size of this room. I'm just going to keep using that.
Arena.
I thought you said it was like 30 feet by 20 feet.
That's the small room. He's looking.
Oh, he's looking out into the. Oh, I thought he was looking out towards like Black Bay Harbor.
No, he said.
Okay.
All right. In the interior room. So the interior room where the lava is about the size of a stadium. The basketball court would be about the size of the lava pool. And inside of that, there's just these swirling light shards mostly in a ball in the middle. Think about like a very slow whirlpool, just slowly rotating around. There is a stream of lava, though, that is coming through that opening doorway that you can see through that force field. And there are four statues on the ground inside the room.
We have found ourselves our last puzzle.
Can I make out what the statues are?
Like not who? From, that, no. From that distance, yeah.
I thought you meant, like, can I make out with them? Like, does that make the lava stop? I just go up and I kiss the first statue.
So, put it in perspective. Large room, pool of lava. Inside the lava is a bunch of golden shards. And there are four statues on the ground kind of flanking around it.
And then there's the door that has the magical glow, right?
I'm going to stand at the wall. Like, I'm at my door, and I'm like, can you tell where the gold shards enter in from? I'm asking the two of you.
Well,
are they just, they're just in the middle, right? Like, they're not coming from somewhere.
So they are, as Woods asked that question, where the golden shards enter from, you would see that floating down that small river of lava that went right through the center of that force field door, mm-hmm. You see a couple golden shards float, and they just pass right through the force field. Okay. And get pulled into that slowly moving whirlpool.
Can I, after I do my perimeter check in the room?
Yeah, you didn't find anything of note other than there's not as much dust in this room. It's actually being upkept.
Okay. Two things. How big is this glass window?
Let's say the panes are 5 feet tall by 8 feet.
How many panes?
Let's say two panes.
So not terribly big.
Not terribly big.
Okay. Not for like colossal hand to come through.
Yeah. Colossal would not fit through it.
I want to stealthily go back down the hall and pick up a few of the light shards.
Okay.
Come back and then stand at this viewpoint and hold out my hand with the light shards in it. See what they do.
I'm going to say they are trying to... I don't think they would do anything.
Okay. I'm going to keep a hang on them.
Okay, so you put them like in your pack?
Yeah.
And then maybe try to use that as like a compass or something to see if it starts pulling?
Yeah.
Okay, just trying to make a mental note that...
I may actually keep one in my hand just as we keep going to see if it starts pulling me into a direction.
Okay, sounds good. As you start making your way, I assume you're going to the north door?
Yeah, I'm going to stop at the door... Listen for a minute. Just do my roguey stuff of, you know.
Okay.
Not just pull the door open and here's Johnny, you know.
On the north door, you open the door up. Same type of layout. You see a hallway going down for about 30 feet. And it makes a hard right. So that would be to the east.
Yep.
And you hear, since you just mentioned it, you start hearing footfalls. And you see light coming down the tunnel that's getting a little bit brighter.
Okay. I'm immediately going to retreat back down the hallway and tell you all that I think another light shard is coming.
Let's go the other way because they're coming this way. So if we go the other way.
So you want to backtrack and go back in the altar room and through the other door?
Yep. Okay, they're just going.
Okay.
Well, eventually, do we want to like duck in one of these rooms, have it go by us, and then follow it instead of having it follow us?
Can we just kill it? Why don't we just ambush it? Why don't we just hide? And when it walks in the room, we all ready in action and just hit it with everything we got.
I'm fine with that.
Let's do it. Let's just take it out.
Okay.
As this story pulls on your soul, in the end, we hope it is full.
Hey guys, it's Mike, your host and Dungeon Master of Carriage Rest Tales. I just want to say thanks for taking the time to listen to our podcast. It really means a lot to us. If you are enjoying the content and you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review. It's really going to help us grow our listenership and be able to reach more people. I also want to give a special thanks to Tabletop Audio for providing the background music for today's episode.